Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Basra Chaf Hey, we begin at the Mishnah, right on top of the Amud, discussing distancing requirements again, meaning you can't place certain things near a city, lest they be affected by the foul odors. Marchikin asan neveilois. You're meant to keep neveilois, corpses, dead animals, away from a city. Vesa kvaris, a cemetery. Vesa bursaki, a tanner. Right? So all these places, you have to keep them away from a city. Chamishamama, 50 amas away, because of the odor concerns. So whether it's a nevela, whether it's the kvaris, whether it's a tannery, 50 yama away. Now, once you're out of the city, says the Mishnah, but there are more restrictions as well. When it comes to a tannery, and some of Farshim explain it's going on the other items as well, you can only do so to the east side of a city. Rashi explains, because that wind, the eastern wind, is leisurely and soft and will not necessarily transport the intense odor into the city. Versus other directions, other winds, which have that ability and pose a greater concern. So according to Tanakama, put a 50 yama outside the city on the east side. No, you can place it anywhere. Chutz mimarav, except for outside the city on the west. Umarchik chamishimama, provided it's 50 yama away from the city. And then we'll explain exactly what Rabbi Akiva had in mind. What else must you keep apart? Things that can cause each other harm. Umarchik inasam mishra mina yorok. The soaking water on which they soak the flax becomes very foul smelling, and you have to keep it away from vegetables growing nearby. Vesa kreishin mavitzolam. If you have a leek, keep them away from your neighbor's onions. Vesa chardom nadvar. Your mustard plants must be kept away from your neighbor's bees, because they come peck on the sharp mustard plants, which in turn causes them to need to quench their thirst and cool their mouths off by tapping into their own honey supply, which causes the beekeeper damage. He says chardel is not a concern, and then we'll explain exactly why. So let's go back to the bursaki. Tanakama says, do it limizrachayir. Rav Akiva says, anywhere is fine except for marav, plus you need 50 yama away. What exactly did Rav Akiva mean? We have two ways to learn. Rav Akiva, hechik amar, what was Rav Akiva's intention here? Place it outside the city on any side. Chutz mimarav, except for the western side. The marchik nun ama va'isa. Over there you need that 50 yama gap, which you don't need on the other sides for some reason. Or you don't want another option to learn. You can place this facility outside the city in any direction, east, south, north, provided you have the 50 yama space. Chutz mimarav, the ainis klal, except for the marav side, where it's not allowed at all. We'll see in a minute why. So which way? What did he mean? Toshma, here comes a riot from a brice. The sign of Rekiva Oimer, l'kol ruach oisa, u'marcha kamishamama. The facility can be placed on any side, provided you have 50 yama between the facility and the city. Chutz mimarav, the ainis klal ikur. Oh, but marav is not allowed at all, even if it's 50 yama away. You know why? Because it's constant. What does this mean? Amali Rav Rav Nachman. What does this mean? My tadir. What do you mean? It's constant. Ilema tadir of Beruchis. Does it mean that there is a constant breeze, a constant wind blowing from the western side? So the western wind is more constant than the other winds coming from the other directions, and therefore we're concerned about transporting the odor into town. Really? We have a quote from Rav. Every day, depending on the hour, you have a different wind coming from a different direction. That's the paramount wind. And the northerly wind, he joins them all, softens them, tempers them. Because if not for the Ruach Tzafonis joining, the world will just crumble, because of the strength of the other winds, if they were left untempered. V'ruach d'raimis, kosha mikulam. You should know the ruach coming from Doran, from south, is the most potent. V'ilmole benetz, there's a malach called benetz. If not for the fact that he comes along and he protects us, shema amida, he holds back that fierce wind with his wings, machrebes, so it will destroy the world. Shenemar hamibinoscha. This is a pasuk in Eiv describing Hashem's wondrous doings in the world. Hamibinoscha yaver nates. Nates is this malach who yifreis knuf of l'teiman, who spreads his wings towards the south. So bottom line, we don't see that Marav has a constant wind. If anything, it's the Tzafon that does. So what does Rabbi Akiva mean? Tadira. Ella, rather, my Tadira. What does constant mean? Because of the presence of the Shechina in the Marav side, which is more felt there, it's more noticeable there to those who can feel the Shechina. Tadira b'Shechina. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, don't place this this facility on that side of the city. It's not covered to the Shekhinah, interestingly. You can have two cities next to each other, and the city on this side will not place the Bursaki on the west, which is really the east of the other city. The other city has to be careful on their west. How does that work? So first, I must explain, it's all relative. It's about our perception. On our west, we have to relate to the Shekhinah as though it's there. So each to his own, location. We're going to prove that, in fact, the Shekhinah is based, so to speak, on the Ma'arav side of the world. Let's appreciate. Let's show appreciation to our forefathers, to the ones who taught us. They taught us in which direction to daven, to tell us where the Shechina was. In Nehemiah, they tell us that in fact the Shechina is in the west, because the Tzvah Shemayim, the world body, the celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, they're bowing to you, to the Shechina. So basically they're going from east to west, apparently they're bowing to the west, because the Shechina is in Ma'arav. Asks the Gemara, who said that indicates Shechina being situated in Ma'arav? Maskeflor of Achar Yaakov Duma, maybe the Shechina is really at the east. And it's like Ke'evet Shenoytel Pras, imagine a servant receiving a gift from his master, and rather than turning around and facing the door, he turns around and faces his master and sort of walks backwards. Umishtach, when he's bowing to his master as he's walking backwards. So the someone is going from east to west, perhaps it's sort of going backwards, facing the east, bowing to the east where the Shechin is. Kasha, we leave it as a kasha. In fact, we don't really have a clear raya, but that was the Kabbalah that Shechina is in Ma'arav. But we have dissenting views. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Shechina b'chol makom. There's no specific direction that we can point to as the place of the Shechina. Dom Rabbi Yeshua Maidechsiv Atu Hashem Lavadecha Atu Asisas Hashemayim. And the pasuk is praising the fact that Hashem controls the world and sends all the celestial bodies to their tasks. And he says like this, Shluchecha loike shluche basar v'dam. It's so different when you're talking about Hashem's agents versus the agents sent out by a human ruler. Why? Shluche basar v'dam, an ordinary shliach, v'makim shemishtalchem l'sham machzirim shlichusam. When they get sent on a mission, they come back to report. Where do they report? V'makim shemishtalchem, to go back to the place where you sent them out, to go back and report. Otherwise, you wouldn't know that they completed their task. But you, Hashem, is so different. Avo shluchecha, your shluchim, they don't need to come back to you, because you're all over the place. They can report to you wherever they are. L'mokim shemishtachim. At their destination, misham machzir shlichusan, there they confirm the completion of their task. Shenemar, as we have a pasuk once again, Iyayiv. Has a shalach brokim v'yelechu? Yoyim l'cho hineinu? So Hashem is sending out the brachim, lightnings, and they go, and they report to Hashem. Where do they report from? Yavoyim really nema. Rather than saying they'll come back to report, it says they'll go and report. At their destination, they can report to Hashem. Malamed shashchina bechal makim. This teaches us that the Shechina is everywhere. Equally found everywhere. Vafra Bishmo Sabar. Shechina b'chol makom. That is Rabbi Shmuel's opinion as well. How do we know? The Tanu d'vei Rabbi Shmuel. We have a Braisa. Minayin she Shechina b'chol makom. How do we know? Shechina is all over equally. Shenemar hinei hamalach hadover biyoytzei. Umalach acher yoytzei likrosi. So one malach is speaking to me. This is a pasuk in Zechariah. He leaves. Another malach comes out towards him. Right? So Hashem is sending out these malachim. And they're sort of, you know, bumping into each other. Acher le'nemar, it doesn't say the second malach is behind the first malach. El likrasa. He's coming from a totally different direction. So the Shekhinah, Hashem is sending them both out from different directions. Molamid. Shekhinah b'chal mokim, the Shekhinah is equally found everywhere. V'af Rav Sheshe, Savar, Shekhinah b'chal mokim. And that is Rav Sheshe's opinion as well. The Amar Le Rav Sheshe L'Shamei, we know that Rav Sheshe was blind. And he instructed his Shamas, his helper, when it came time to daven, set me up in any direction you want. Or not particular. L'chol ruchos o'ikman, when you get me up to daven, it can be in any direction. Except Lavar Mimizra, except to the east. V'lav mishun d'leif b'ishchina, because. Not due to the lack of the Shechina's presence in the east. Elam mishum d'mayru b'minei. I don't want the minim, the ones who worship Abi, the Zara, who have their practice to pray to the east, to the celestial bodies, and so keep me away from that. But otherwise, I'm okay because the Shekhinah is everywhere. But we have a shita which disagrees, which corresponds to the previous opinion that the Shekhinah, the Ikar, the main Shekhinah's presence is in Marav. Rabbavo Amar Shekhinah b'Marav. The Amar Rabbavo, my Urya. What does Urya mean? Urya is a reference to the Western. It's in Persian. What does Urya mean? What does it stand for? Avir Ka. It's the side of the world where the Shekhinah Ka is situated. Now we have a lesson from Rabbi Yehuda based on the Pasuk in Devarim Lamed Beis, comparing the Torah to the different types of winds that blow throughout the world. Amar bi d'maylech siv yarev kamot alichi. So the Torah is compared to yarev kamot, what does that mean? Zu ruach marabes. It's a reference to the ruach coming from marav. Shabbat me'arpay, arif is back. Shabbat me'arpay sh'olam, which comes from the back of the world. So the marav is the back and east is the front. The pasuk continues, tidal katalim rasi. What is that referring to? Zurach Tzfoynis. Shemazelis Azov, it's going on the Ruach coming from Tzafoyn, warms up the world, which brings famine and hunger, which makes Zahav, gold, cheap and worthless. V'cheinu Oima, we find another pasuk referring to worthless gold. Hazolim Zahav Mikis, Zahav is cheap. Pasuk continues. Kesir Malidesh. Torah is comparable to the other wind. Which wind is that? Zurach Mizrach, it's coming from Mizrachshi. Mas eres is kala'olam kisoyer. It's called se'irim. It's just like the dima, the shade. It's powerful, it's strong. It's tumultuous. And finally, the southern wind, uchvicharavivim ali esev zurach dreim, is the southern wind, which is one that generates the rain supply. Shimala revivim, which gets the rain going, umagaldelas asavim, and makes the grass grow. So just like the world requires all these various elements to keep it going and functioning properly, the Torah sustains the world. Tanya, Blazer, Omer. Now we're going to discuss a totally different aspect of the our functioning, the functioning within the world. How we're going to be describing these suns travels around the world. And before we begin, it's important to know that although we speak about literal phenomenon, the Mefarshim, the Maral, the Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato, the Ramchal, we'll explain that, you know, the Gemara wasn't coming to teach us science. Rather, it's giving us a glimpse of various phenomena, but really the true lessons are embedded deep within. There's a lot of secrets, a lot of panimis, soides going on behind these discussions, and that's how we have to approach these types of conversations, which in a literal sense don't always correspond to the way we perceive the literal, you know, setup within this world, because like we said, they're alluding to deeper concepts and sodeis of Kabbalah. Okay, so we have machlokes regarding how the sun makes its way around the world. Tanya, Blazo Emer, So we have Rabbi Lezer, and then we're going to have Rabbi Shur. According to Rabbi Lezer, Olam la'achsadra hudayma. The world is compared to an achsadra, like an enclosed area, which is open on one side. Achsadra hudayma. Ve'ruach tzafayin is enimus of emes. On the tzafayin, it's open. So it's closed on three sides and open on the fourth. And that's where the sun sort of hides during the night. When the sun gets to the ma'arav tzafayin, the northwestern corner of the world, it can't continue. And it sort of makes its way up above the rakia, above the sky, and it sort of gets out of the enclosure. We don't see it, and that's why it's dark. Then in the morning it comes down from the other side, the northeastern corner, and it starts shining, and day commences. So that's Rabbi Lezer's opinion. Rabbi Shua Ima, Oilam Lekuba Hudayma. Oh, it's like a totally enclosed area, like a closed tent. Baruch Tzfanis Mesevevis, and the Tzafayin side is also closed up. How does the sun get out? Through some sort of channel. V'kiven Shechama Ma'agas. Now when the sun sets and it gets to the Lekerim Arevis Tzfayinis, to the north-westerly corner of this world, Makevetz V'chazer Zachari Kippa, so it sort of gets through some sort of opening, some sort of hatch in this enclosure, and it makes its way along the northern side and comes back down on the northeastern side in the morning. Shanema, we have a raya from my pasuk, Koylech El Doroim V'Soviv El Tzafayin. So the sun is Hoylech when it comes to Doroim, when it comes to Tzafayin, it's Soviv. Makes a roundabout, gets out of the way. So Hoylech El Doroim, but yeah, during daytime, right, it's on the shortest day of the year, you still have the sun running through the southern part of the world. V'Soviv El Tzafayin, and when it comes to Tzafayin, it's Soviv, Balayla. It leaves, it goes around our area and disappears beyond the Kippah Sa'olam, beyond it, and you don't see it. Soviv, Soviv, Holech Ruach, Val Svivaysav Shavaruach. So then we have the Pasuk continuing to describe that in some areas it's iffy. At times it's Soviv, sun disappears. At times it's Holech. So what does that mean? That's referring to the eastern and western sides of this world. Because let's realize something in a very simple sense. The sun will rise in the east and set in the west on a very short winter day. So for us in the northern hemisphere, you'll see the sun arcing around the south side of our world, right? So if this is east, this is west, north, south, you'll see the sun coming sort of hugging the south side and setting. So on a short day, you're going to see it running along the south, and that's it. Now as the days progressively get longer and longer, right, so the sun will leave, will sort of rise closer and closer to the north and make the arc longer than before. So the arc keeps on getting, stretching long, long, until on the longest day of the year, the sun is like rising on the northeastern corner, making its way like a U towards the south, running along the south and coming back and setting on the northern western corner. That's the longest day of the year. Shortest day, it will appear like it's rising on the southeastern corner and setting towards the southwestern corner. So that explains to be sure. When it comes to Dorim, it's always seen along the Dorim. When it comes to Tzafin, it's never seen along the Tzafin. That's nighttime. And regarding Mizrach and Marav, it depends at what point of the year. Right? That's referring to the east and west. So during the short winter days, you won't see them running along, the sun running along those sides and visibly along those sides. It disappears, because it's only going to be visible along the southern side of the world. But at times, meaning during the longer days of the year, where the arc stretches back up. So, yeah, at that point of the year, you'll see the sun shining alongside the east, alongside the south, back alongside the west, and then it sets. So we bring a right from this, from the fact that The term Sevev relates to the other sides as well. The other directions too. Mizrach and Marav, right? So apparently, it's not like Rabbi Leza says that Tzafon is unique because there's no Mechitza there which allows the sun to disappear. Because we see the same Lashon Sevev relating to the other directions. So apparently, right, there's a riot to Rishua that in a physical sense there's no difference between the different directions. Rather, when it comes to the northern point, the sun leaves through a hatch and sort of hides behind the world and then comes back down. Who? This is going back to Rabbi Leza. Haya Eimer. He would say the following. This Braisa, because Asa'an Rabbi Leza, it's clearly reflective of his Shita. And it's based on a Pasuk in Iyav. Minacheder Toiva Sufa. So Hashem is going to bring this wind, Zuach Ruach Duremis, suddenly wind which comes with a storm. Umim Zarem Kara. What is that? Zurach Tzvainis. The Ruach coming from Tzafain. Cold wind. Because it's open. The Machitza has been cast about. There's no partition. It's exposed. Mizorim. It's Mizura. It's Mizura. There's no Machitza. It's been cast away. So this is like Rabbi Leza's Shita. That Tzafain is not enclosed. Minishmas Keil Yiten Kerach. Which wind is that? Zurach Ma'arabis. Coming with a strong cold wind. Vurach Ma'im B'mutzak. What is that? Zurach Mizrach. Mizrach is the wind from the east, which, as we explained, generates the rain. Asks the Gemara, Geshem comes from the Ruach Mizrach. We learned a bit earlier, Ruach Duraimus, Mala Revivim, Umagadal Sasav. We attribute that power to the Ruach Duraimus, not Ruach Mizrachis. Like Asher, the answer is like this. Depends how it's happening. Ha the Asher Mitra ben Yechusa. The Ruach from Darim is when it's raining leisurely, calmly. So that's attributed to that wind. Ha b'shvichusa. But the Ruach Mizrachis generates strong, powerful rains. Amar Chizda, once again referring to the different types of winds. Ma'idach Siv Mitzafan Zohav Yasa. What does that mean? Mitzafan Zohav Yasa. Zurach Tzvani. That's going on the Ruach from Tzafan. Shemazelas Hazav. As we explained before, dries up the world. It brings hunger and famine, which makes precious metals like gold worthless. B'chenu Eimar Zolam Zohav Mikis. Gold, which is very cheap. Amar Rav from Rapapa, Amar Rav Chista. Miyom Shechar Beis Hamikdash. From the time of the Beis Hamikdash's destruction, Lo Yehukshimu Ruach Duraimus. So until then, the Ruach Duraimus would generate this leisurely, pleasant rain, but it hasn't happened. Shenemar Vayigzor Al Yomin V'ro'ev V'yoychel V'yoychel Al Smoy V'lo Yisaveyu. So we learn from here that the Gzera was that Yamin, which we're going to see in a minute, is referring to Daraim, will not generate prosperity. Uksiv Tzafain v'Yamin at Avarasim. You created Tzafain and Yamin. Yamin, the opposite of Tzafain, which means that it's going on the southerly wind, and typically that would bring blessing and bracha and rain, but it hasn't happened. V'Amar Rav from Rapap, Amar Rav Chista. Yoyim Shechara v'Yis HaMikdash. Einag Yishamim Yordim Oitzar Toiv. From the time of destruction of the Mikdash, we no longer got our rain from a good, generous source, from Hashem's good treasure. Shenema yiftach Hashem locha saitzore atoiv. Hashem will open His treasures and provide us with rain. And the pasuk continues with a reference to mitar artzecha, your land. When you're sitting on your land, that's when you get it from that good source. Bizman shi yisrael oisin return ishal makom when kol yisrael. Does Hashem's will be Israel, Shiruin al Admosim, and we're situated on our land, then we get the blessing from its good source. Geshamim Yordim Moitzar Toiv, but Bizman, at a time Shein Yisrael, Shiruin al Admosim, we're not on our land. During exile, Ein Geshamim Yordim Moitzar Toiv, we no longer have that abundance. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, speaking about rains and winds, Haroitza Sheyachim Yadrim. If a person wants to achieve wisdom, wants to get Chachma, so when he davens, Shmoneh Esrei, he should face Dorim. Vishyasher, if a person wants to achieve wealth, suffering, face suffering. That will connect you to the source of those respective brachos. Vishimanech, if you want to remember this, this is how you do it. Shulchan b'tzafen, in the Beis HaMikdash, a shulchan, upon which they placed the breads, which was the conduit for the gashmis tegebracha coming to Klal Yisrael b'tzafen, that was situated in suffering. So if you want to check into that, tap into that bracha, face that direction. U'menorah b'darim, the menorah, which symbolizes the Or HaTorah, was in Darim. So if you want to tap into that, face there. Rabbi Shuvan Levi, Omar, he says, no need. Lo'ilom Yadrim, better Face Dorim. You know why? You'll get everything. It's all in one. Shemitoyach Shemischakim. Once you get Chachma and you get Torah, you're automatically going to be Zeicha to Bracha and Parnasa as well. Miss Asher. Shenemar Oirach Yame Bimina. This is going on the Torah. Bismillah Oisha Bachav Bachavit. So when you achieve Torah, when you get the Chachma, you'll get Oisher as well. Asks the Gemara. So you meant to face Dorim? Vorab Yishuv and Levi Omar Shechina B'Marav. A minute ago, Yishuv and Levi told us you meant to focus on the Shechina and Marav. And here he's telling us to dive into Dorim. The Metzada, that's Dudi. Yeah, primarily you face Marav, but you sort of tilt yourself to the right to Dorim. Omar Leir of Chanina Ravashi. Kigoyna Atun di Asvisu B'Tzvayne Et Yisro. Now, according to this opinion, which is actually the opinion that we follow the Halacha, we don't face Marav. Rather, we face Eretz Yisro. So now our tefillos are directed to the Beis HaMikdash. So he told Ravashi, if you sit, right, since you live with Tzvayne Eretz Yisrael, Babel is on the north of Eretz Yisrael, Adrimu Adrimu, when you daven, turn south to Eretz Yisrael, to the Beis HaMikdash. Imnol and the Babel, with Tzvayne Eretz Yisrael, come. How do we know that Babel is situated to the north of Eretz Yisrael, the Chsiv Mitzafayin, Tipasachara, Alkal Yeshua Eretz. This was Yirmiyah prophesied in the Churban, which is going to originate in Tzafayin from Babel. So you meant to keep a distance between Mishra and Yorok, between creation and Betzalom, between mustard plants and bees. Tana, Rabbi Yisi Matar Bachardel. Rabbi Yisi is not concerned about keeping your mustard from your neighbor's bees. Because the mustard man could tell the bee man, before you start giving me instructions, keep your mustard from my bees. So the mustard man could tell the beekeeper, you keep your bees away from my plants. They're harming my goods as well. They're chomping away at the plants, at my mustard flowers, buds. So we're an even turf. It's even Steven, so you don't have a stronger claim against me than I have against you, and therefore just leave it status quo. Continues the Mishnah. Oh, this is that halacha that we learned many times. Your friend has a well, a pit next door. Keep your tree away from that pit. How far? 25 amma. All these trees that generate lots of leaves and roots, carob and shikmo, chamisha amma, you need 50 amma between yourself and the pit. Vein milamalo. Whether the tree and the pit are on different sort of grades, beim and atad, whether they're on the same level, keep it away. Im habar kadma. Now, if your neighbor's pit preceded your tree, koitzitz v'nisin damim, you have to remove the tree, but he has to pay you for it. Vim ilam kadma, if your tree came first, lo yikot, you don't have to remove the tree. Safek zekadma, safek zekadma. Let's say we're not sure which came first. Lo yikot, he has no right to chop it off. Rabbi Yezi, I mean, he disagrees with many halachas that were learned until now. He says, I can do whatever I want, pretty much, in my territory, as long as I'm not directly harming you. But planting a tree, currently there's no issue. There's no encroachment going on, right? So it's allowed. Even if the pit came before my tree, you have no right to chop it off. Why? Shimon could dig in his property. And Reuben could plant in his property. Says the mission. Says the Gemara. Tana, we learned in a price. Bein shabar lamato, v'ilon lamalo. Whether the boyer and the ilon are an equal turf or uneven grade, meaning the boyer is higher up on the hill, the tree is planted lower down. Bein shabar lamalo, v'ilon lamato. Whether the boyer is higher than the tree, either way, it's a concern according to Tanakam. Asks the Gemara, why? Bishleim habar lamato, v'ilon lamalo. I understand if my tree is situated up here and then the grade sort of slopes downward to my neighbor and he has a pit lower down. Yeah, the tree will eventually reach, the roots will encroach. Ka'azlan sharash, and my roots will go ahead and travel, maskly burn, undermine your pit. So there's a concern. Ela bur lamala vil lamata, but if the bur is situated higher up than the tree, tree's not traveling up. Amai, what's the concern? Amar b'chaga b'shem Rabbi Yisi. There is a concern, although not as sort of direct as before, but here as well, it could undermine, it could soften the foundation of your bur. My roots will bore into the property beneath the bur, it bores its way into your property, and will crumble away the foundation of your pit. No worries. Even if the bur comes first, Well, you have no right to force me to chop my tree. Guess what? That's the opinion that we adopt as well. But there is an exception to the rule. It's not a free-for-all. When we spend time by Rav Kahana, we would say like this. There's one exception here. Direct damage is also. Even Rav Yossi, who says causation is okay, but Begiri Didei, if it's a direct harm, like shooting an arrow, it's a mashal, right? So if the effect is felt immediately, it's also. We have a story depicting this point. Papi, that was his name, Papi Yuna. He came from the place here, I guess. Ani Vehesher Haba. Initially, he wasn't very wealthy, a poor man, actually. Then, he struck it rich. Bona Padma, to celebrate his success, he built this huge palace, huge mansion. Problem is, his neighbors weren't really cooperating. Havu Hana Chatsuri, he had these sesame oil producers, Bishavusei, as neighbors. The Chiavu Daiki, Shumshim, when they were banging and pressing those sesames, the whole place would rattle. Havu Naida Padma, his whole mansion would vibrate. And he was concerned about the health of his structure. Also going to Rav Ashi. He comes complaining to Rav Ashi about his neighbors, Amalei. And he says, yeah. Ki avo am Berav Kahana. Havar minim. Right? Berav Kahana, we would say, Moidu Rav Yosi Begir Delay. This is a direct cause. This is not just a tree which is going to eventually grow. This is a direct damage. And therefore, you have a full right to stop it. V'cham. What level, what degree of vibration concerns us? Kedenayid Nachtma. The test is like this. Take a chaspa, take a pitcher and put it up on the wall of your mansion and see if the lid rattles. Could deny it nachtma. If the nachtma, the lid rattles, apumi the chaspa sitting at the opening covering the pitcher. So yeah, if that's what happens, if it rattles, you have a right to stop them. Otherwise, let it go. Let's sum up today's daf. We spoke about ruchais, directions, and where to place facilities. Like Nevelis, Kvaris, and Burski would generate foul odors. 50 amah from the city, according to Tanakama, put it on the east, because it's less exposed to the fierce winds, which can transport the odor into town. Rach Mizrachas is a leisurely soft wind, that's the best place. Rukiva, according to the conclusion, tells us, according to the Gemara's conclusion, tells us that the only place you cannot place the facilities on the Marav because of the Shechina, which is situated be Ikur and Marav, and that's one opinion. The Gemara, the other opinion says Shechina is equally found all over. We had Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua describing the sun's travels through the world with riots to each respective opinion. We discussed the various winds and currents and their powers. We discussed the bracha that was around by the Beis Hamikdash time. We discussed davening towards Dorim or Tzafin, depending on your wishes. Then we went on to the Mishnah, keeping the Elon from the boy, according to Tanakama, it's required to protect the neighbor's boy, according to Biesi, unless it's direct causation, it will be okay, and that's how we pass. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.